Thank you for the opportunity to share the Word of God. And I'm expressing my joy. Amen. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 2 today, but I want to do something before that. And so I want to take us to John chapter 1 and read 14 through 18. And there's a method to my madness here. It says, "And the Word, which is Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he comes after me, ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness," talking about Jesus again, "from Jesus' fullness we have all received grace upon grace." Amen? Amen. "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, but Jesus has made him known." Now you hear me talk about this a lot, but because this revelation came to my heart, and it's no secret, but the fact that Jesus came and he made the Father known through his life, through his very being, and through his words that he taught. One translation says, "He has explained him or revealed him." Now this brings us back to Hebrews 1, which Pastor Craig has been talking about. But I just want to reread the verses. In Hebrews 1, 1 through 4, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke." So many times, many ways, prophets, Moses, so forth and so on, God has spoken to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. Now that's not just the words Jesus spoke. It was his very being. Jesus said many times, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." So when the disciples and the crowds of people observed Jesus' life, they were observing God. And when we read the Gospels and we read about Jesus and we hear his words, we're hearing the Father speak to us. It goes on to say that in these last days he's spoken to us by a Son whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. So again, if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Study Jesus. Look at his life. Look at his words. Look at what he did and you will know God. It says that he is the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, thank God, purification for our sins. He's not just forgiven us, he's made us pure. How many of you feel pure? But he has made us pure as he forgives our sin. And as he has cleansed us through his sacrifice, through his life, through his words, through his sacrifice. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become much superior to angels, as Craig talked about, I believe it was last week, as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Gareth L. Cockerill, who is a commentator that I have been reading, he puts it this way: "The Son is the exact representation of God's essential being. The Son is the perfect picture of God, because he partakes of the reality of God. And he says the author of Hebrews could not have stated this truth in stronger terms. Why am I reading that? Because it blessed me. Amen. It just blesses me to read about who the Son is and that he is in fact God and that him and the Father are one and all of what Jesus is about and has been about and will be about and is about today. Now, many of you know that Bunny and I have been going through a season in life which I don't wish upon anyone. Well, maybe someone, but not. But June 10th, she had knee surgery. This is back in June 10th, she had knee surgery. And during one of the first episodes of rehab, a muscle tore away from that knee. So she had to go back into surgery. And they drilled it in there and whatever they do. And then they put a cast brace on her that kept her leg straight. She couldn't bend it at all for 4 to 6 weeks. She had this on. So she was in a rehab center for 4 to 6 weeks. They finally took the brace off last week, I believe it was. And so she's now rehabbing to get the knee to bend again. Once you keep that knee, that new knee in a position, it's hard to move it out of that position. So they're rebending it and they're working with her. She can walk. Yeah, as many of you know, she's had a stroke on her left side. And so that leg isn't fully functional, but she can walk with a walker now. I took my car to the rehab center and she was able to get in and out of it. Once she was in, she was like, let's go, Jerry. But it's been a weird season. She's been gone from my life, if you will, at home for 4 months. And she's been stuck in a room depending on, you know, nurses and nurses' helpers and that to do her bidding. It's lonely at home. Now, I know many of you are single and you live by yourself, but I don't know how you do that. I've got to have somebody there with me just to talk to, even though they have earplugs on. So I've been struggling with that. I've been struggling with being at home, and she's not there with me, and just the different things that come up with us. She's been struggling with being, you know, isolated in the hospital, although she's got a great attitude. But I'm coming back to these verses I just read. When Craig said he's going to do a series in Hebrews, I took the book out again and read these first verses. And it blessed me so much that it lifted me up and gave me the strength and the ability. And yes, Jesus is Lord and Savior. He's full of grace and mercy, and you know, he forgives, and he's just awesome. And it just lifted me up. So I'm looking forward to a study in the book of Hebrews to see how God exhorted these Christians, these Hebrew Christians and non-Hebrew Christians. He exhorted them to serve the Lord and to follow after the Lord while they were going through some pretty rough times. And so I just encourage you, maybe these first verses didn't do it for you, but as we go along, there will be parts of the book of Hebrew that'll just really awesome you. Is that a way of saying something? Yeah, it is now. I awesome you. So I said all of that to just say as a testimony of God's word that it just lifts you up. It just lifts you up. And so this next set of verses is a challenge to us. And we read in Hebrews chapter 2. Now, I want you to understand that the author of Hebrews is not bringing condemnation onto a group of people that have fallen away. He knows their situation, and he's bringing encouragement and warning, yes, but not warning. If you do this, I'm going to slap you with a yardstick. It's encouragement and exhortation to follow the way of the Lord. So Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, what is that therefore? It's what we just got done talking about, how great Jesus is and how awesome he is and superior to angels and superior. He's just the Lord of all. Amen. Therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed as he will. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this section of Hebrews, and give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying today to the church. Draw us closer to yourself. May we walk with you, Lord, all the days of our life in fellowship and understanding of who you really are to us, Lord. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. So firstly, he starts out in verse 1, therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it. And again, that therefore, you have to ask, what is it there for? Because it's there because of the superior revelation and word of God in and through Jesus Christ. This is why he's going to be talking about what he's going to be talking about. It's because of the superior revelation and the word of God in and through Jesus Christ. It's therefore important to hear and adhere to what he has communicated through his personhood in representing the Father and the words that he has taught in regard to the things of God. That's what that therefore is there for. Since Jesus is all of this, as shared in the first four verses, let's not drift away from it. We have to pay closer attention. Ben Witherington III says, the issue here is drifting away from or ignoring what one has already heard, known, believed, practiced. The audience is urged to stand fast and adhere to what they have already committed themselves to. And that's the issue of these set of verses that we'll be studying. Therefore, we must pay closer attention, lest we drift away. I titled this message, Lest We Drift Away. Drifting away, it's a nautical term. It's found nowhere else in the New Testament. It's found twice in the Old Testament in the Septuagint, which is a Greek version of the Old Testament. But it's used only once here in the New Testament. And simply means to flow beside, to glide aside from, or to fall off from. And it gives me a picture of two boats, not big boats, just, you know, fishing boats or whatever, going out fishing together, and they each have their boats and stuff. And one starts to just drift away from the other one. And just kind of drifts away and loses track. And this one keeps going on and on and on. But that boat's drifting away and falling away from the guided path that they were on. And he says, therefore, we have to pay much closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away. What did they hear? Well, they heard God speaking clearly through his son. Now, they weren't there. They weren't witnesses of Jesus. They didn't witness the son when he walked the earth. But they have the witness of the church fathers, the disciples, and all that did see Jesus and turn to him. They have that witness. They heard God speaking clearly through his son, and God spoke through Jesus, who was a physical being and who was a revelation of God. The Lord Jesus himself announced the word of salvation to humanity. The witnesses of the Lord who heard him announce his word, they then passed it on to others. And most likely these people are ones that have heard it as it was passed on. But it was the words of Jesus himself. It was the word of God himself that they had heard. It was a message that God had endorsed through signs and wonders and miracles. And the author is saying you must pay much closer attention lest we drift away from it. The word closer there means closer. No, I'm just kidding. It has the connotation of being more abundantly, more earnestly, more vehemently. I mean, it is listening. It is bending the ear to hear what is being said. It is a purposed listening. We must pay closer attention to what we've heard. We must really pay attention to it and not just glance over it, but beyond measure, exceedingly pay attention to this word. Then he goes on to say, how shall we escape in verse 3? How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Now the Hebrew author kind of writes in a rhetorical question here. He doesn't really answer that. But he gets them to thinking, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? But the implication there is that there is no escape from it. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? The word neglect suggests a careless attitude, a lack of concern, a disregard for the gift of God. To neglect the word of God, the words of God, the words of Jesus, suggests a careless attitude towards them. I don't know if any of you have ever been there in your life, where you just kind of got careless, just kind of just a lack of concern, a disregard for the gift of God. You ever been there? You didn't get there purposely. You drifted away somehow. And the words of the Lord drifted away with you. It is a challenge to stay in with God in the sense that we don't work our way into it, but we have an enemy that is working against us to get us out of it. To get us out of the word, to get us out of the place of prayer, to get us out of doing the word of God. And there is a constant battle that we must fight. And so sometimes I believe that we get to a place where we begin to get a little careless in our attitude and a lack of concern. Now this isn't meant to condemn. This is an encouragement to say, don't do that. Don't let that happen in your life. How can we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Now, back in verse 2, he used the word disobedience. And this is, again, just a single way in the Greek that this word was used. Now, the word disobedience you can find throughout the scriptures, But the Greek word here is only used here in Hebrews, and it means an erroneous or imperfect hearing. And from that comes disobedience or a deviation of obedience. It means a refusal to listen, which is seen as a form of disobedience or transgression. See, when we think of the word disobedience, we think of, okay, I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. When this word actually means I'm refusing to listen. I've got to the place where I refuse to listen anymore to this word of God. Maybe it's a particular word. Maybe it's a particular area of our life that God has been working on and wanting us to give up or wanting us to draw in closer to him. But for some reason, we're fighting it, we're resisting it, or we refuse to hear it. This is the word disobedience there. William Lane says the term disobedience implies an unwillingness to listen to the voice of God, to decline from steadfastness, and to make forfeit of our faith. Doesn't sound like good news today, does it? But again, it's warnings. And in our society and in our culture, there's so much to draw us away from the basics of Christianity. Not lose our salvation. I'm not talking about that. It's just so much that it's hard to stay in there, to build your personal relationship with God, and to stay steady with the Word. I'm not talking about make sure you read it every day and pray every day and all. You know, I'm not setting times on it, but I am suggesting to you that we can't go very long without it, lest we drift away. And so the writer of Hebrews is writing to a group of people who, some of the commentators kind of disagreed with each other, but one suggested that they were facing heavy persecution. They were fearful for their lives because the Romans, after the fire of Rome, they became the target for persecution. And these were just small groups of people meeting in homes, but yet they experienced people being drawn out and pulled out of their life and put to death in many fearful ways. And so they were people that were under persecution and lived in fear of retribution for being a Christian. And so this is encouragement to them. Stay close to the Lord. Stay close to God. He'll never leave you. Amen. But sometimes we kind of drift away. But he won't let us get too far, thank God. He's always there. He's always putting somebody in your path that says, hey, you know, are you okay? Let's pray together. Let's do this, you know, encourage you to get back into the things of God. God loves us so much. It said in Jesus, it was full of grace and I forget how it was worded, but it's full of grace. Grace to grace or whatever. See, Jesus won't let us go unless we choose to just let go completely. But that's a whole other subject for another time. So the word disobedience implies an unwillingness to listen to the voice of God. And I don't believe that anybody here is in that place where you're not listening to God's voice. How shall we escape? The implication is that there is no escape. possible. How shall we escape from such a great, if we neglect such a great salvation? Salvation, in simple terms, can mean rescue and being brought into a personal relationship with a personal God. That's what happens when Jesus saves us, is we're brought into a personal relationship with a personal God. And that's the way he likes it. But how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? And again, you go back to verses 1 through 4, you see how great it is. It's just totally awesome. I know I overuse that term, but it is great. I encourage you, go home and read verses 1 through 4 over and over and see how wonderful and great Jesus is. Amen. Witherington again writes, in the author's mind, turning back is virtually unthinkable after one has been offered or given so much in Christ. But in the end, the author lets the audience make up their own mind by leaving the matter in the form of a rhetorical question. How shall we escape? He doesn't give the answer. Amen? But there is no escape, because there's only salvation in one person, and that's Jesus Christ the Lord. I love the songs that we did today. They're just tremendous. And I love that last one we did. I've always loved that hymn. It's just amazing how much grace and mercy and love is expressed in that song. It just lifts you up. How do we pay closer attention so as to not drift away? Firstly, I believe we need to have a consistent habit of reading the Word. In Romans 12, 1 through 2, Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. A consistent habit of reading the Word of God transforms you. It renews your mind and it transforms you in any area and every area of your life. As you read the Scriptures, you read the words of Jesus himself, it transforms you. It changes the way you think about a thing. And it's one of the ways in which God changes your life. Now, he works through the Holy Spirit and in other ways, but one of the crucial ways is through the reading of the Scriptures, through the hearing of God's Word, by being transformed by the renewal of your mind. Transform is a metamorphosis. This is where we get the word metamorphosis from. And what that is you got that ugly old caterpillar. I mean, they're ugly. They're just ugly. They're ugly. And it builds this cocoon. And in the midst of that cocoon, they are transformed. Completely transformed from this ugly, ugly thing into a beautiful butterfly. And that's what God does in our life. He takes the ugliness away, and as we read his word and as we study the Lord Jesus Christ and we carefully listen and we don't disregard it, we become from the inside of us becomes from a caterpillar into a beautiful butterfly, into something beautiful that reflects the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. So how do we pay closer attention so as not to drift away? Have a constant habit or a consistent habit of reading the Word. Now, I avoided saying read the Word daily. We've heard that all of our life, but really, in one way, we should. Now, I don't say should in a way of you should do that or you're not saved. I'm just suggesting that reading the Word of God, having a consistent habit of reading the Word, will transform your life. The next thing, how do we pay closer attention so as not to drift away, is the gathering together with the saints. In other words, go to church or come to church. In Hebrews 10, it says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, he's not putting a law down saying, you know, you have to go to church. But he's simply saying that in neglecting to gather together, that could be one of the ways in which we drift. That we start to drift a little bit. And I know for myself, in struggling with Bunny, sometimes I stay with her and we watch the broadcast together so she doesn't get completely alienated from the life of the church, but it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing as when we actually gather together. One of the most meaningful things that happened to me this year was the men's retreat. Boy, you got a boring life, Jerry. No, it was just tremendous. You know, I've seen you guys in church, and you exchange pleasantries and you know, howdies and stuff. But at the men's retreat, I got to know some of the guys, especially the campfire. That was great. That was hot. We had to move away a little bit. But it was great to just fellowship around that campfire and talk and you know, just share together. I really enjoyed that, and I got to know more of you. I have a tendency of being a loner, and I don't mean to be, because I just cried about being alone at home. But, you know, it's hard for me to dive into situations where there's a lot of people. But I do it, and I went to the men's retreat, and I tell you, it was just, it changed my life. I just got to know the guys and laugh together and share together and, of course, shared the word together. And it was a good time. I encourage you that if you've never been to one, try to make it next year. You'll really get a lot out of it. So that's the ending of that commercial. But gathering together with the saints, it's very important to have a consistent church life, I believe. Keep us from drifting, especially in our culture today that has so many alternative things going on, so many things that draw our attention away, so many reasons why gathering together is hard to do. But I encourage you to change that aspect of your life if it's a difficult thing for you. How do we pay closer attention so as not to drift away? Doing the Word. James 1:22-25 says, but be doers of the Word, or the words of Jesus. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed. In other words, do something for somebody. You know, bless somebody else. Be doing the word of God. Be a doer towards other people. Big ways and little ways. You just do that, and it keeps you from drifting. You know what I do, and it's not to brag on me, because I'm just not going to do that. So there. One of the things I do, and people probably, you know, frown on it, but I give to those people that are on the corners. You know, with their signs. I will slip them, I won't tell you how much. Sometimes they're a scam, but sometimes they're real. And in my mind, I'm doing and giving to the Lord. I'm doing something that I feel Jesus would do. And I'm not suggesting that you have to do it at every intersection or you have to do it at all. That's just me. And the light turns green and I got a whole line of cars behind. I'm digging in my wallet trying to get some. The cars don't like me, but the guy in the corner loves me. Loves me, loves me. But little things like that. Just be doing God's word. And of course, the bigger things and how this church helps others out when they are in need. Whether it's a project in the house or a ministry that needs help. We're doers of the word of God. And that keeps you from drifting, because you're involved in the very things of God. And God is with you as you are with the brothers and the sisters, and you are doing what Jesus would do and helping and so forth. So we have a consistent habit of reading the word. Does this sound too legalistic? Okay, it's not meant to be. These are tools, if you will. They're essentials, I believe, for the Christian life. Be consistent. Have a consistent habit of reading the scriptures. Gather together with the saints. Do the word. And the last one is to develop prayer, both public and private prayer. And it's a difficult, another difficult task to have and maintain a prayer life. But it's good to give some time to pray. Give some time for prayer. Pray for others. That's intercession. Pray for your immediate needs. Pray for your family. Pray for the Lord's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just pray. And then publicly, when there's a prayer meeting, you know, and we're called to pray as a church body, we come and pray. Now, again, all these fingers are pointing back at me because it's been a difficult year for me to attend some of these things. But I also know that I drift if I don't. You know, I get careless, not sinning, but just an indifference that kind of comes over me. And that's not good. I have to force myself to get back into things so that I am walking in with the Spirit of the Lord. Does any of that make sense? Amen. Well, that's the last point I had. So this is a little early for me. I usually have 7 or 8 pages. I only had 4 today. Some of you are relieved. But very seriously, pay more closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it. I thought of that song, Slip Sliding Away, by Paul Simon, I believe. I was going to play that, but I didn't know what the rest of the words were about. So, but it's just a drift that happens, that occurs. It's gradual. Sometimes we don't even realize that we're drifting until we get far enough away and we go, oh my gosh, look where I'm at. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today and for these people. And I do pray that it didn't come across in a condemning way, but it was a challenge to us, a challenge to stay close to you, Lord, especially in the day in which we live, to draw closer to you in the ways that you have provided for us through the word and through doing and through prayer. And Lord, I just thank you. Bless this people. Bless us, Lord, as we go about living for you in our everyday life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. I invite you all to stand.